nice.
Nothing that bad. But...
but we should be prepared for anything. Gotcha.
Salvor Storm to docking control.
Docking control, I read you, Salvor Storm.
Docking control, we are requesting permission to land.
Permission granted. Proceed to docking bay 94. Welcome to the Star Wars fan base.
Welcome to Docking Bay 94, the official podcast of the Star Wars fan base, your source for all of the good news in the Star Wars galaxy. Welcome to the first episode of Docking Bay 94, the official podcast of the Star Wars fan base. Today I will tell you a little bit about this podcast, a little bit about myself, and a little bit about the fan base in general. On this podcast, we are going to try to do something a little different. You're not going to listen to me talk for an hour, because I am one of the most reluctant podcasters you're ever going to meet. What this show is going to be fan-driven content. I am going to encourage the fans to send me their opinions, their commentary on news items, and do the general reporting itself, because I want to get in touch with the fans and know what everybody from all over the planet is thinking and hoping for and wanting from their Star Wars fandom. This is an exciting time to be a Star Wars fan with the recent announcement of Disney's purchase of Lucasfilm and also of the announcement of Episodes 7, 8, and 9 due out starting in 2015. And with all of the rumors and speculations, there's a whole lot going on in the Star Wars universe. One thing we are going to try our best to do is stay away from rumors and speculations if we can. We are going to report news as it happens. We are going to find the facts, mostly based on press releases from Lucasfilm or Disney itself. And we are going to try to keep that consistent with this podcast and with the fan base in general. Now, as I said, my name is Dwayne, and I started the fan base back in May of 2010. Because I was getting ridiculed and insulted because I did not like, quote, the right things when it comes to the Star Wars universe. I really enjoyed the expanded universe. I read all of the books, all of the novels. I enjoy the RPG stories, the adventure journals. I have been a Star Wars fan since I saw the movies in a drive-in theater when I was 8 years old back in 1977. I stood up in my father's truck and watched them while my mother and father slept beside me. But once that Star Destroyer went overhead, I was caught up in a world that I have been enjoying ever since that day. My mother and father bought me all of the Star Wars toys. I had the figures. I had the ships. I was enjoying even the Marvel comics back in those days. And I have been an avid Star Wars fan ever since then. I am one of those people that firmly believe that if it weren't for Star Wars, I would not be the person I am today. Now, I would go to the fan pages and the fan sites on the internet, and I would discuss different things about the expanded universe, about the prequel movies, about the novels, about the Karen Travis books and different things compared to the Clone Wars, or compared to the inconsistencies with the novels. And based on my defenses of the different things, I was told that I was, quote, not a real fan by many people, including people who are running the pages. And I got highly offended by this because I have been a fan for 30 plus years, and then to be told that I'm not a quote real fan really upset me. So I vowed to create something that would be a safe place for all fans to be, regardless of their age, regardless of what they wanted, regardless of what they believed in. They would be able to come there and talk about their fandom, talk about what they like, talk about what they don't like, but in a safe place where they themselves will not be ridiculed or insulted for what they believe or don't believe. Because I don't believe that you should be judged right or wrong based on you liking something different than somebody else. Based on this, we have a strict family-friendly policy on the fan base, which many of you might have noticed. And we don't allow foul language to be on. We don't allow for the scantily clad picture to be posted. Because everybody should be safe. We get stories all the time about people setting their children on their lap to look on our page because they know that we will keep it safe for the young eyes to enjoy everything about Star Wars that should be enjoyed. There were always plenty of places for the adults to be able to discuss things in an adult fashion, but there was never a place for the younger crowd or someone who does not want to engage in that kind of discussion to come to. And that's why I created the fan base the way I did. Now, my wife and I, Karen, live with our three boys in the U.S. in a sleepy little town in Southwest Virginia that resembles Hoth to a certain extent right now. We got a blanket of snow a few days ago that's still laying around. I work outside of the home. I go to all over the U.S. and Canada, and my wife stays at home, homeschools our youngest, and the other two are in college, so she makes sure that everything runs smoothly at home while I'm out gallivanting all over the country. I spend many days driving, and I listen to audiobooks. I also listen to the Star Wars music while I'm driving. I'm a big fan of fan fiction, and I have an audio program that reads the books to me as I'm driving, which has been fantastic. But needless to say, I spend most of my day immersed in some form of the Star Wars universe. But that is enough about me. Let's get to the important part of the podcast. First off, I want to thank Amy, Marcus, and Scott for their contributions of their voices to the intro. They have been a great help, and I really appreciate them contributing and being a part of this. Our first piece is from Chris. He is from the Star Wars Underworld. They're on Facebook, and they have their own website also. Their website is at StarWarsUnderworld.com. The Facebook page is Facebook.com/SWUnderworld. And he is one of the co-creators of that, and he is going to be doing some news for us right now. So take it away, Chris.
Hello, this is Chris from the Star Wars Underworld, and here are your weekly Star Wars news headlines. ABC wants to make a new Star Wars TV series. With all of the news about new Star Wars films after the Disney acquisition of Lucasfilm, speculation about future TV series like the long-planned Star Wars Underworld live-action series has died down. But the waters have finally been stirred again by a recent Entertainment Weekly interview with Paul Lee, ABC's entertainment president. Lee stated, quote, "We'd love to do something with Lucasfilm. We're not sure what yet. We haven't even sat down with them. We're going to look at the live-action series, we're going to look at all of them, and see what's right. We weren't able to discuss this with them until the acquisition closed, and it just closed. It's definitely going to be part of the conversation." End quote. ABC, which is owned by Disney, is currently working on a TV series set in the Marvel Universe, which draws parallels to a potential Star Wars project. Lee continued, quote, "It's going to be very much up to the Lucasfilm brands how they want to play it. We got to a point here with Marvel, a very special point, where we're in the Marvel Universe and very relevantly so. But we're not doing the Avengers. But S.H.I.E.L.D. is part of the Avengers, so maybe something oblique is the way to approach the Star Wars Universe rather than going straight head-on at it." End quote. It will be very interesting to see if ABC picks up the previous project or starts a new one of their own. Celebration Europe tickets go on sale January 16th. Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 takes place from July 26th to the 28th at the Messe Essen in Essen, Germany, and you can get the tickets on the 16th of this month if you head over to www.starwarscelebration.eu. And the first guest for Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 has been announced, Dave Filoni. Along with the news about ticket prices, the Star Wars Celebration 2 team also dropped the news today that the Clone Wars supervising director Dave Filoni will be in attendance. Filoni hinted back in his StarWars.com blog post about the end of Star Wars Celebration 6 that he may be in attendance, and now we have our official confirmation. Filoni is the first of what will be likely a very impressive roster of Star Wars celebs. And finally, we had news this week that director Guillermo del Toro was approached for the Episode 7 directing job, but he turned it down, adding to a long list of directors that were approached but turned down the job. So that's it for the weekly Star Wars headlines. For more news, please visit StarWarsUnderworld.com. For the Star Wars Underworld and Star Wars fanbase, I'm Chris. May the Force be with you.
out there, Star Wars fan base. This is your loyal Jedi Master, Amy. And I was asked to record a little bit on myself so you guys know what my interests are and where my expertise lies. Anyway, I am 36 years old and I live in California, and I am an original trilogy fan, so that's where the bulk of my knowledge and interest is. I have a respect for what was attempted in the prequels. I think that the visuals were amazing, but the story, as many fans have already said, could have been done a little bit better. I was really excited about it, and you know, I still watch them occasionally. But anyway, I really haven't seen a lot of the Clone Wars, but that's something that I'm trying to fix. I really do enjoy it, so it's just a matter of getting caught up via rentals and whatnot. In terms of some special things that I can bring to Star Wars fan base, is that I am an active gamer, so I am a girl too. I know that shocks many, because I think a lot of boys still think that girls don't play video games, but I really do strive to play every Star Wars game that is published. I played all the old Jedi Order games. I also played Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. And I am an active founder and subscriber of Star Wars The Old Republic, but no, I don't PvP that much, in case you have any questions there. I also am a 5-time cast member of Disneyland Resort, so I do have a lot of knowledge about Disneyland, as well as Tomorrowland, any Star Wars activities, Star Tours, all of that good stuff. So I can definitely bring a lot to the table there. So if you guys have any questions about your visits to Disneyland, what to do in Star Tours, all that stuff, feel free to ask me, because if I don't know the answer, then I can always find out. Anyway, but thank you for listening to the Star Wars Fan Base Podcast and DocuBay 94, and I hope you enjoy it. Please make sure and ask questions. Let us know if you want anything answered, if you have a specific topic you want us to research, and we'll definitely do that for you. May the Force be with you.
Greetings! This is Lord Bruticus, the Brutal One, from Dark Empire Radio, the official podcast of the Dark Empire Costume Club. And you're listening to Docking Bay 94.
Hello, ladies and Gundarks, boys and Twi'leks. I'm Robert Flummerfelt, reporting for Docking Bay 94. Today we'll be discussing the Galactic Empire's response to the White House petition we all know so well. Star Wars number one comic sales, Celebration Europe 2, and much, much more. But first, I'd like to announce a very special guest. We have Darth Vader with us. How are you doing, Darth?
You may dispense with the pleasantries.
Don't you think that's a little ridiculous? I'm sorry.
Apology accepted.
Anyways, let's get down to business. The Galactic Empire responded to a response to a petition by the American people to have a Death Star built by the United States government. In the response are quotes by Governor Wilhuff Tarkin and Admiral Conan Mahdi, such as, "The cost of construction," they cited, "were ridiculously overestimated. But I suppose we must keep in mind that this minuscule planet does not have our massive means of production. And it is doubtless that such a technological terror in the hands of so primitive a world will be used to upset the peace and sanctity of the citizens of the Galactic Empire." In other news, new Star Wars comic, Star Wars number one, sold out in 24 hours. You heard me right, 24 hours. Reprints will arrive in stores February 6th, so be ready, because I can guarantee you it's going to sell out pretty quick again. In other news, fans everywhere are gearing up for Celebration Europe 2, which is going to take place this July in Germany. A couple announcements with regards to that. First of all, admission ticket information has been posted on the site. You can check that out at StarWarsCelebration.com. That's StarWarsCelebration.com. All kinds of information on the ticket, including information about the VIP package, so make sure to check that out. Oh, very nice. Also, the first guest has been announced, David Filoni, which you all know from the Star Wars The Clone Wars. He's done a lot of work on that.
he's the director. So that'll be great. And that's all the news I have for today, and until next time...
I am your father.
Well, that's not exactly what I was thinking of saying, but that's a good tidbit of information. I was more thinking of saying...
Don't make me destroy you.
No, not that either.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Okay, could somebody cut Lord Vader's mic, please?
No!
Until next time, may the Force be with you, and this is Robert Flummerfelt signing off for Docking Bay 94.
Hi out there, fan base. This is Eni, your loyal and humble Jedi Master. And what I wanted to talk about today is a little bit about Disneyland and what I think the problem is with formally recognizing Star Wars fan days. Now, let's face it, Walt Disney World has a lot more room, and they do formally recognize the Star Wars fans a lot more than Disneyland does. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a 5-time Disneyland cast member, and I was working in Tomorrowland as an attractions cast member when Star Tours was reimagined and opened, and even when it was being tested. And I watched our opening ceremonies at Disneyland and Walt Disney World's opening ceremonies, and I have to say, as a cast member, I thought both were fine, but as a Star Wars fan, I was truly annoyed by how much more Walt Disney World did, because they had some video editing, they had blaster fire happening, they had the cast members working the attraction come out and fight off the enemy with broom handles. It was truly cool. Whereas the Disneyland opening ceremonies didn't involve any of that, and I felt rather gypped, I should say. So I was a little perturbed at that. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. But in terms of the fan days being formally recognized by Disneyland, I think the primary issue at Disneyland is space, because Tomorrowland is in a position where it's a major inlet and outlet for guest flow and guest traffic, especially in the evening when park attendance is heavier and there are more people trying to get around the parade and the fireworks shows. So that being said, it's very difficult to have any kind of assembly or congregation in front of Star Tours, because that automatically leads to fist fights and people having trouble getting from point A to point B. So I think that's the major hurdle that we need to think around. Now, me as a cast member, what I would think about is making our presence known subtly. So what do you guys think about organizing a day every year where all the Star Wars fans can go? And we don't hang out in one place, we're just present in the park. Because there are many other groups that do this, and it's not formally recognized by Disneyland, but it is recognized by that group. So there's a certain group of people that goes, and they all dress up to represent their fandom, and they go run around in Disneyland, and all the cast members know they're there, all of Disneyland knows that they're there, and it's established, but it's not formally recognized by Disneyland. I think that's a good first step to establishing a Star Wars fan base. The next hurdle that we would need to figure out is, for safety reasons and obvious reasons, we're not allowed to have any kind of gun facsimiles or weapons in Disneyland, so blasters would be a problem. We're also not allowed to have masks that cover our faces at Disneyland, so all of our Mandalorian and Stormtrooper friends, that would also be a problem. But there is one day that you are allowed to wear costumes, and there's actually more than one in September and October, and it's at a private party called Mickey's Halloween Party. Now, another idea I have is that once we establish ourselves in the park on a certain day as Star Wars fans, like all the Star Wars fans go this day, every year we go this day, then the Star Wars fans can also organize and buy a whole bunch of tickets to one Mickey's Halloween party, and everybody can come in a little bit more of a costume, maybe not the whole regalia, but you can do that, and then we can also establish ourselves that way. And then eventually, I think working up to a private party might actually be in the cards. But it's going to be pretty difficult, and I think it's going to be a long road because they don't want to open up that door because they know how many of us are out there. Even though we do hide in plain sight, there are a lot of us that would be going to Disneyland. So those are my thoughts. Feel free to comment and leave me some more information because I know a lot of groups have tried. So let me know what other assistance I can be, and I'll bet you we can figure this out together.
Well, we have almost reached the conclusion of the first episode of Docking Bay 94. I wish to thank Chris, Amy, and Robert for their reporting. But before we sign off, I would like to bring in Lord Bruticus and ask him three questions. Lord Bruticus was kind enough to record me a couple things, and if you don't know who Lord Bruticus is, you need to go check out thedarkempire.org. They're also on Facebook. They have the Dark Empire podcast, and they are a well-run costume club, and I suggest you go check them out. But let me ask you, Lord Bruticus, when did you become a Star Wars fan?
I became a fan of Star Wars way back in 1977, at the ripe old age of 4 years old. I remember when my grandmother took me to the movies, because back then I believe there were a lot of kids that were saying, you gotta go see Star Wars. And I was four, and yet I had friends, I still remember, that told me, you gotta go see Star Wars. I mean, at that point, I even had the toys, and I didn't know what they were for. You had these lightsabers and the action figures that looked really cool, but I couldn't tell the difference between them and action figures from G.I. Joe and all that. Until I saw Star Wars. And you know what's funny? The very first memory that I have of Star Wars is that of Darth Vader coming down the passageway of the Tantive IV. Not the beginning of the movie where the Star Destroyer comes across the screen there. No, it wasn't that. It was Darth Vader. Dave Prowse in that suit coming onto the screen, walking down that passageway. Because when you're four, you don't keep all of the memories with you, but I have that memory implanted, ingrained into my brain. And I loved every minute of it back in 1977, and I've been a fan ever since.
And what is your favorite film and why?
What is my favorite movie? Well, of course, here's a real shocker. It's Star Wars. Which one? Well, I would have to say The Empire Strikes Back. And why? Well, the dark side wins, that's why. And I admit that when I was a child, I was a big fan of Luke Skywalker. Yes, I was quite misguided in my ways in my youth. And so I loved Return of the Jedi as a close second, because I thought it was a really good movie. And also for many other reasons. Yes, Princess Leia, Ula, of course, yes. But in the end, after Revenge of the Sith came out and I saw the dark side become victorious once again, did I realize that I love Empire Strikes Back still, but then closely followed by Revenge of the Sith. Because the dark side wins. The good guys can't win all the time now, can they? Don't answer that.
And finally, Lord Bruticus, I would like to know, when you're sitting in the theater in 2015 when Episode 7 is on, you are sitting there, will you be nervous or will you be excited about the future of Star Wars?
When the new movies come out and I'm there sitting in the theater waiting for it to begin to see those famous yellow letters Star Wars come across the screen there with that John Williams music that will live on forever, I will not be nervous at all. I can't be nervous. You know why? Because it's Star Wars. I don't care if it's as bad as the holiday special. It's still Star Wars. So I will be there in a costume in the theater
Maybe looking for a girl in costume in a theater. Yeah, that'd be great. And I won't care how bad it is. Now, don't get me wrong. We all want them to be as good as, or at least live up to, the Oscar-winning original. It's gotta be Star Wars worthy, don't get me wrong. But in the end, I don't care, really, if it's bad, because it's still Star Wars. It's got the Force. It's got lightsabers. It's got blasters, spaceships, even Jedi, and, of course, Sith, and bad guys, and geeks in the movies cheering it on. It doesn't get any better than that for a fanboy, even a Sith like me.
Very interesting, Lord Bruticus, very interesting, and I won't argue with you because I know better. But that is the end of this, the first episode of Docking Bay 94. I wish to thank all of you for listening. I wish to thank again Amy, Robert, and Chris for contributing. I wish to give a special thanks to Lord Bruticus for giving us some of his time. And I wish to thank all of you for listening. And may the Force be with you.
Listening to Docking Bay 94, a presentation by the Star Wars fanbase. The Star Wars fanbase is not affiliated with Lucasfilm, 20th Century Fox, or Disney. Star Wars and all related characters, names, and items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective copyright holders. The official site can be found at www.starwars.com. Please visit our site at www.starwarsfanbase.com.